Good afternoon, everyone. I'm your host, Rod Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Happy to have you with us this Friday afternoon on Local Matters. Pastor Ron, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dwight. Don't we just love Fridays?
I tell you, it's my favorite day.
It is. I love doing this recording, this program. It's just awesome. I love it.
It is. And we are so thankful for Stonecom to make this possible.
That's
and producer
right.
Greg, and we're just, and we believe that it not only, you know, when we sit here and we talk about these truths and principles, hopefully we're blessing and encouraging our audience but it stirs the truths up again with us.
Oh, it does. It gets us thrilled, doesn't it? Excited about it. It really does. We're just thankful that we can do it.
Absolutely. We've been talking about lessons from the desert, those difficult moments, those periods of your life, which you wonder, what am I going to do now? What is the way out? What is the solution? And we've covered a lot of ground over the last few weeks. And I'm just going to touch some of the lessons because we've learned also that it's not just what happens to you that matters. More importantly, most often, it's how you respond to it, how you react from it, how you grow from it, and what you learn from it. And some of the things that we've learned over the past few weeks as we've been talking about lessons from the dead is that God didn't do it to you. He did not do it to you. That's not the way God operates. He didn't break your leg, kill your dog, take your job. That's not in the dispensation of grace. We've learned that you're still standing no matter what. No matter what the worst period of your life was, the worst issue in your life, the worst problem in your life, you're still here and you're still standing and you're still going forward. So that tells you about the track record of God in your life. And we've also talked about the fact that you are who you are no matter where you are, regardless of your circumstances, good, bad, or ugly. They'll change all the time, but who you are does not change if you made Jesus the Lord of your life. You are his son, and his promises are still yes and amen. His promises sit closer to you than a brother. Your identity is not wrapped up in your circumstances. Your identity is wrapped up in your sonship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we talked about the fact, don't get caught in the I don't understand trap. There's just some things, folks, that we just may never understand, but that trap can become almost a blasphemy, as Pastor Ron talked about last week, and become an idol and keep us in that desert a lot longer than we need to stay. And we finished up last week, Pastor Ron, and is something that we talked about a little bit, but I don't know that we're through with. One of the most valuable lessons that I've learned in desert periods of my life is learn to be content.
Yes.
And that is not to say by content we don't mean I'm satisfied, I don't have any more goals, I don't want to accomplish anything else. Not that kind of contentment, but learn to be happy and satisfied and let the peace of God rule your heart.
Yes.
I love what the definition of that, let the peace of God, let the peace of God be the umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire. And let the peace of God umpire. And in the middle of that, we don't have to say, I'm just so stressed out. If it's not one thing to worry about, it's another. I'm under so much stress. No. The scriptures say, let the peace of God rule your heart. Mm-hmm. Learn to be content and level and steady right in the middle of it.
And you know, Dwight, in that I'm so tired, I'm so wore out, I'm so whatever all that is that people often say, you know, Jesus was very clear about this in Mark 11 when he was talking about faith. He says, he that you will have whatever you say.
Yeah.
He says, you can speak to the mountain and not doubt in his heart and believes with his heart, he can have whatever he says. And so we have to be real careful when we're going through a desert experience not to think desert thoughts or to speak desert words.
Yeah.
Because, man, I think there's 10 times recorded in the book of Numbers where the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, the Lord said, why did you tempt to me these 10 times? And I did a series one time on those 10 different things that they did. But you know, a large part of those were where they were complaining and murmuring and blaming Moses and God for their circumstances when God was trying to get them to go into the promised land. They were speaking desert thoughts. They were speaking desert words rather than speaking God's words. And then when it finally came time after 40 years, Caleb said, here this 80-year-old man is saying, hey, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's take this land. Yeah. This mountain is mine. Let's go into the promised land. He had waited for 40 years, Dwight, and here he was 80 years old, but still was not complaining, was not murmuring, was not blaming God. He said, I can take that mountain. We can take that mountain now. And that's the attitude that God wants us to have rather than speaking words contrary to his, even if we don't understand, to speak his word.
You know, I love that once they got into the promised land, and, you know, the 12 spies went in, one from each tribe mm-hmm. of Israel, and one representing all 12 tribes, and 10 of them come back and say, man, yeah, it's out there. I mean, it's what God says it was, but look at those giants. Mm-hmm. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, but look at those grapes.
Yes.
And that's what they were looking at. And then when they got in there, Caleb says to Joshua, Joshua, give me this mountain. Mm-hmm. There's some more giants up there in that mountain. He's 80 years old. He still wants the mountain, you know?
I love it. And you
touched the point, and a very valuable lesson is that don't think the desert thoughts and don't talk the desert talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yes.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What gets lodged down in there is what we think about and what we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And what has to happen, as I've learned in desert times of my life, whatever I'm thinking about, my dominant thoughts are, I'm going to be talking about,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to
mm-hmm.
move in the direction of my dominant thoughts.
Mm.
And if I'm still thinking about that desert and talking about that desert, and that's a focus on it all, and I'm not denying it happened.
No.
We're not, the problems are real.
Yes.
These are facts. We're not saying it's not real. It's not, it's real.
Yes.
It's a fact, but it's not the ultimate truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if I stay there in my thought life, and if I stay there in my conversation, I'm giving more and more life to it. You and I both know people that we're around from time to time, they talk about things, think about things that happened 10 or 15 years ago as if it were yesterday.
And it seems so real.
And there's
real.
A better way to live.
It seems so real to them. Why? Because it's still alive in their heart. And, you know, if you struggle with getting over the past, we may be speaking to someone here that has a hard time getting over the past, letting things go, whatever. Continue to rehearse in your mind. It's like someone said, it's like a DVD player that just continues on repeat in your mind. You just, maybe someone hurt you, left you, rejected you, did you wrong. But you have to get out of that track. You have to get out. You have to hit the stop button on that DVD player. You have to hit the stop button on that and begin to. And the way you do that, Dwight, is you begin to replace those thoughts with what God's word says.
Yes.
You have to take those thoughts captive.
Yes.
You have to say no, and you may have to do this 10 times a day, but you catch yourself thinking about the past, thinking about what somebody did to you, thinking that wrong thoughts, whatever. You have to take that thought captive. You have to bring it captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, not our obedience, because our obedience isn't always perfect, but his was, and his words are perfect, and so we bring it in to captivity to his words, his way of thinking. And you know, let me just interject this here. Understanding that God's love for you will never fail you, that
yes.
he will never leave you no matter what. He will never forsake you. I think Romans 8 says that life or death or things present or things to come will not separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. And I mean, that about covers it all right there.
Sure.
And so knowing the love of God will help you quit playing that rewind and playing that video over and over and rehearsing that over and over and speaking that. And as you said, following that dominant thought. See, we may be like someone may have rejected you, divorced you, left you, whatever. But if you continually speak that about them or talk about that, or you continually let that be the predominant thought in your life, you will follow that predominant thought of rejection right back into another rejecting state, right back into another failed state. God wants that broken. He wants you to have a good, peaceful, plentiful life. He wants these thoughts of discord, these thoughts of not being able to make it, these thoughts of a loss of victory to stop in our life and begin to speak the word only. Whenever Jairus' daughter was dead and they came and told him he was dead, Jesus jumped right up in the middle of them and told Jairus, he says, do not fear, only believe.
Yes.
And it doesn't record Jairus saying one word. He didn't say one word. He didn't say anything negative about it. He just followed the shepherd. He just followed Jesus.
Sure.
And Dwight, whenever we go to changing these thought patterns, that's what we have to do. We just have to say what the Lord says and follow him, even though we may not understand.
You know, Pastor Ron, our feelings and our circumstances will change.
Yes, they will.
Based on what we're thinking about and what we're saying.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm thinking about and saying those negative, those circumstances about, you know, we're going to go continue down that path. But if I get, and you just touched on it so well, those things are facts, are real. But if I can get some word of God in my mind and in my heart, which is the ultimate truth.
Yes.
And I know I went through this some years ago when I was battling some real serious depression. I came to the point where the Lord said to me, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7, I'll never forget that verse. I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And then I said, well, if I've got such a sound mind, why do I feel like I'm going crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And in my heart, Pastor Ron, I heard, well, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe your feelings, or are you going to believe my word?
Mm-hmm.
You going to build your life on how you feel, or are you going to believe on what I say and mm-hmm. what I've written? And that started me down a path of getting up early in the morning and just started writing down what some of the things that the completed work of Jesus Christ brought to my life. And what I did is I started to renew. Romans says, renew your mind. Our spirits are fine, mm-hmm. but we've got to renew our mind and sacrifice our bodies. That's mm-hmm. that's the process. So I began to put truth in there. And I had this one verse that when fear and anxiety would pop up the second it did, I'd say, up. God, your word says that Isaiah 26:3, you'll keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because I trust thee.
Mm-hmm.
And my emotions were saying worried, depressed. You know, my feelings were saying worried, depressed, scared, fear. But I started saying, no. I started thinking about that verse. I started saying that verse out loud. Your word says, God, you'll keep me in perfect peace, whose mind, even though I didn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
I could say, I don't feel like saying that. I started saying that. I started thinking about that. And over time, my feelings and my circumstances changed. Not that they weren't real, but I based it on the total truth.
Let me say this for our listeners. You know, Dwight just gave you a brief synopsis there of his book, The Relax Factor. If you are dealing with these issues that we're talking about of not being able to be content and thought patterns continually just running through your mind and wearing you out, I encourage you, get a copy of this book. It's called The Relax Factor. Dwight, where can people, can they get?
Probably the best way is Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. Yeah. And I mean, this book is such a tool that will help you. It's called The Relax Factor. And, but Dwight, breaking these thought patterns is such a vital key to breaking out of the desert, if you'd so to speak. Because if you see the children of Israel stayed there for 40 years,
yeah,
circling that same area, which was only 11 days for them to get out of. And I mean, it's just like, I'm thinking, Lord, help these people and help us not to keep these same thought patterns going in our lives.
We're so happy you're with us this afternoon. Your host, Rod Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're talking about lessons from the desert. We'll be back with more in just a moment. We're back. Happy to have you with us. We're talking about lessons from the desert, things that we can learn from the hard times, the difficult times in our life. And we're just finishing up one of those valuable lessons that I've learned, Pastor Ron. We don't think the desert thoughts. We don't talk. We've got to talk the desert talk. But the Bible says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yeah. My grandpa might say, whatever is in the well comes up in the bucket. So what we have to do, we have to put different stuff in the well.
There you go.
And we do that by putting the truth of God in the well, and then that comes up in the bucket. That comes out of our mouth, if you will. And as we think different thoughts and talk different ways, we talk the ultimate truth, which is the Word of God. Our circumstances will line up with that.
And, you know, Dwight, that kind of leads us into the next segue, into the next point, that is the way, part of the way that God equips us.
Yes, we're equipped.
We are equipped, and he uses that process. And, well, we just want to remind folks, following God is not abracadabra. God's not a genie that comes out of a bottle. This is a process that we learn, we walk through. And Dwight, one of the things that will help us in our equipping is to know that we've been given the gift of righteousness,
yes,
meaning that we have right standing with God. You can't perform. You can't be good enough. Your conduct can't be right enough for you to get this. It's a gift that's given through the Lord Jesus Christ. This righteousness, this gift of righteousness, will hold you steady and keep you still while God is pouring in and changing what's in the well. This righteousness will keep you calm, keep you at peace, keep you rested while God is totally transforming every thought pattern, every belief system, while he's changing you into and transforming you into what he wants us to be, and that's to be conformed to the image of Jesus. He is continually equipping us to get out of those desert experiences into victory, because that's his heart and desire for us.
So that is the lesson for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the middle of the desert, know that you are equipped.
Yes.
When Christ came into your heart, when you became a temple of the Holy Spirit, when Christ and you became your hope of glory, he brought into you, supernatural forces, graces,
yes,
his characteristics, powers, whatever you want to call them. A number of them are mentioned over there in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's talking about the fruit of our recreated spirit.
Yes.
Those powers, those graces that came into us when Christ came into us, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, you know, temperance, all that we get out of that, and we just have to learn that we have them.
Yes.
And we learn that we have them by spending time in the Word of God, spending time getting ministered to, taught, whatever, finding out who we are, what we have, and what we can do. And we start to learn, hey, this may be a desert experience, but I'm not in it by myself.
Mm-mm.
I don't have to rely on my own willpower, my own perseverance, my own anything. Christ in me is my hope of glory, his view and opinion of me, and the more we learn about what we have because we walk with the Lord and he's our Lord and Savior, the more we rely less on our feelings, and we say thank you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that no matter how I'm feeling, no matter what my unrenewed mind might be telling me, I can look at Galatians 5 and say, thank you, Father, I have the power of patience.
Yes.
Patience is in me. I thank you for that. It'll keep me level. It'll keep me steady. It'll keep me content. I think my emotions may be screaming something else. My mouth want to say something else, but if I just find that ultimate truth and stand on that, think on that, confess that, then my mind will start to get ease, peace will start to take place, and over time, my circumstances will change.
And just think about this for a minute. We are equipped. Just think about this. Why would God send Jesus, and why would he send the Holy Spirit to the earth if he didn't want us to be equipped? It's like we have to realize that this equipping is his doing. It's his graces. It's his giftings. It's his ability. Once we accept him, Dwight, and it's very simple. People complicate that, and they get over into performance, and they think, well, I used to think this. I smoked a lot of cigarettes, and I used to think, well, when I quit smoking, I'm going to accept the Lord and become a Christian because I just don't want to be a hypocrite.
That's right.
But you know what? The thing that I failed to see was if I could quit doing everything wrong in my life, I wouldn't need Jesus. I didn't need him. And you know, it was amazing. Once I accepted him, a lot of those things that were hindering me just kind of fell by the wayside. Why? Because God equipped me. He empowered me. He gave me the graces. He gave me the strength. He gave me. Now, my mind didn't know about all this. And over 40 years of studying, you learn who you are. You learn
what you have.
You learn what you've been equipped with.
Yeah.
But don't think for one minute that God, you know, God is God. He's not going to just leave us here empty handed. He's not going to leave us on the earth without the tools and the things that we need to be equipped with to be victorious and overcome and get out of the trials and deserts of life. And you know, there again, if you think he's the one that's sending them to you, you're very well not going to be able to resist them or stand against them. God said, resist the devil and he will flee. He didn't say you had to resist God. We want to learn that he's equipping us, Dwight, to resist the devil. He's equipping us to overcome. He's equipping us to have victory. Why would he equip us if he didn't want us to have victory?
Absolutely.
You know, he's equipped us, and we are equipped. There's gifts given. There's graces given. There's the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, there's so much that he gives us because he wants us to overcome. He wants us to be victorious.
No matter what you're dealing with right now in terms of your personal desert, know that you are supernaturally equipped as a child of God to handle it. It's just a matter of getting in the Word and finding the promises and the gifts that we have.
Yes.
Something else we need to touch on. We have two more real important points and lessons for the desert. One that I've learned is wait upon the Lord.
Mm.
Now, that wait upon the Lord, that is not a passive wait. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That is not sitting on their backside and twiddling their thumbs saying, I'm just waiting on God.
Mm-hmm.
No, that wait is an active word. It's an active verb. It means, and it literally, I love the definition as I've studied that word, to bind together by twisting.
Yes.
You have these strings and it's twisting these strings into a rope. Because it's going to be, these strings are going to be stronger as a rope than they were as individual strings. So when in the middle of the desert, that's the time oftentimes people just stop going to church. They stop reading their Bible. I did that years ago. I just stopped reading. Now, that's the time when you megadose. Mm. That's the time when you bind yourself
around
God.
When you're going through the desert. That's the time when you megadose, right?
That's when you do that. And you bind yourself. You spend more time binding yourself around God and letting twisting yourself around you and drawing on His strength. Wait on the Lord. Draw on Him more and more. Learn more. Learn more and more about what you have, who you are. I love that. When that verse really set me free, it said to bind together by twisting, and that will get you through your desert experience in a very positive way.
And you know what? It's amazing to me that a lot of people read that and they think, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord to do something. Well, if you continue reading that, we're not waiting on Him to do anything, because it says they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Yes. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I mean, it's action. There's action. We're not waiting on God in that sense. Like we think.
Not in the passive sense.
No, I'm just kind of waiting on the Lord to do something. I wish He would do something. I wish He would get me out of this desert. I wish He would do. No. That waiting is binding ourselves to Him. And Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what he's saying there is, if the Lord is our shepherd and we're binding ourselves to our shepherd, then as He leads, we're going to follow Him right out of the desert. We're going to follow Him right into green pastures. We're going to follow Him right into still waters. Mm. And I love to think of that as being, He's going to lead us as we wait upon Him, as we bind ourselves around Him. He's going to lead us to peace and to plenty.
The last thing I'd touch real quickly is a lesson that I learned very valuable from the desert. Be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody else that's in a desert. And focus on their desert.
Yeah.
Focus on their need. How can you bless them? How can you encourage them? How can you speak life into them? And if you get focused on somebody else's need, somehow it does wonders in terms of you getting you through your own desert. I just found that to be true in my life.
Amen. Because what is it that God told Abraham? He says, I have blessed you to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And you know, when we realize that as we follow these lessons from the desert, Dwight, and I mean, we can use our own lives for an example. We're not perfect people. We've made mistakes. We've been through deserts. We've been through trials. We've been through tests. But one of the things that we can honestly say is God has taken what the devil intended to destroy and to hurt and has caused us to be able to help other people, to help them to see. And I believe that's really brought out in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul wrote and he said, we have received within ourselves the sentence of death, which we don't like that, but he said we received because they were going through all those temptations, those trials, those tests. He said that we have received the sentence of death within ourselves, that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead.
Mm.
I love that scripture where even though you're going through a desert, you're going through a trial, you're going through a test, you really go through that, you learn, I don't have to trust myself here. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm listening to the Lord. I'm obeying the Lord, but I am trusting Him to get me through this desert. And as I get on the other side of this, I believe it says that there in the same chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe he says, we have gone through a lot of this, not because God caused it, because God is the Father of comfort and the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Not because God caused it, but He has brought us through this so that we can be a blessing to teach, to help, to comfort you. He's comforted us through all of this so we can learn how to comfort you, and bring you up. You know?
We use our deserts, our storms, our wilderness experience to be a blessing to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get, sometimes when we're going through something ourselves, it's very easy to become focused on me and my four and no more.
Oh,
but you're going to see somebody who's extend yourself. Jesus said, you know, the greatest of all is the servant of all. And sometimes we need to reach out and find ways to serve. And then in our service stirs up our faith and our strength, and we realize who we are, and we extend that to other people. And that's a very valuable lesson that I learned in things that I've gone through.
I mean, that you know, Dwight, the thing about that is it's continuing. It never stops. We're always blessed to be a blessing to mankind, to help people. I tell you, lessons through the desert. It's been a great series, Dwight. I tell you, it's awesome. And I mean, this has been good because we want to be a blessing to other people.
So happy you've been with us. Join us next time for Local Matters.